Good to see this number out this morning. We appreciate so much who may be visiting with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Simpkins has suggested. If you've never put Christ on in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can be baptized into Christ this morning. Have your sins blotted out, be added to the family of God, be a child of God. Or if you need to be restored to Christ in this church family, while we're standing and singing, our heart's prayer will be that you would come forward and ask that you may be pray for you, that you may be right with God. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the Roman letter and the first chapter, I want to read one verse for the thought of our study, and that's verse 8. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. And notice what the Apostle Paul, when he is writing to the church at Rome, states in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You know, many times in life we can become discouraged and start looking around and beginning to blame others for our discouragement. And many times when it comes to the work of a local church, we can get downhearted and we can become self-involved and we look at ourselves and say, well, why isn't the work growing? And we can begin to blame others or we blame ourselves. But when you read your Bible, you'll find that the love that men of God had for one another in Bible days was shown in many ways. And they encouraged and edified and uplifted one another, and they did so by showing the love they had for one another. In the book of Acts, in the fourth chapter, you'll find where they sold their possessions and gave to each one that needed something. And this truly signified their love for one another. And when you find in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, Paul giving the command to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, we are mindful that they wept when one maybe lost a loved one, as Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. They sorrowed with one another, but they also had joy when there was an occasion for great joy to be celebrated. Then you'll find in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, they are pictured as the family of God or the house of God. And as Paul is writing to Timothy, he said you ought to know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the pillar and ground of truth. And then you'll find in the Roman letter and the 12th chapter in verse 5 that they are brought out as a body, that we are members one of another. In verse 5 of Romans 12, the Bible says, so we being many, yet are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So the church at Rome was very dear to the heart of Paul. And he expresses this in the fact that he prayed unto God for them. And this same type of feeling ought to exist between the members in the body of Christ today. We are all members of the same body, and thus we ought to feel the same as they did. And I hope that after this study that of love, that we should feel closer one to another. The first thing I want to bring out is Paul's prayer. And one thing for sure in the life of Paul, he was what you would identify as a praying man. He was never ashamed to go to God in prayer. You'll find in Romans chapter 10 in verses 1 through 3 that he prayed for those who are out of Christ, those who were lost. In Romans 10, 1, he said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that she might be saved. His prayer is that the nation of Israel would turn from their sin and would come to Christ. That they would no longer observe the old law of Moses, but would now observe the law of Christ. But notice, if you will, he also prayed for those who are in Christ. Take your Bible for just a moment and turn with me to the Philippian letter for just a moment and chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, if you will, look at verses 8 and 9. And notice that Paul said, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for y'all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Paul is praying for the people of God, and he longed to be with them. And Paul is expressing his love for them. And let it be noted that the prayers of Paul, they were directed unto God through the Lord Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, we find that Paul is stating to Timothy that Jesus is our mediator. He is our go-between. So the prayers were directed unto God through Jesus Christ. But then I want you to look at, secondly, something else. Paul thanked God for each of them. And I want you to think about, this was a manifestation of his love for them. He thanked God for them. Paul thanked God for them, for they no longer serve sin. Open your Bible to the Roman letter and the 6th chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the 6th chapter, Paul is grateful that they're no longer slaves of sin, but now they are children of God. In Romans chapter 6, look beginning at verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Paul was thankful that they were children of God. Then in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, he was thankful that their faith was spoken of throughout the world. Yes, he had every right to thank God for them. But you know something this morning? I want to stop and I want to express my gratitude for you. And like Paul, I want to thank my God for you. You know, sometimes maybe we take each other for granted, and many times in life we don't express our gratitude for one another. And can I say that there are many reasons I'm grateful this morning for you, my brothers and sisters in Christ at Eastside. As Paul, I thank God for you at this place, first of all, that many of you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to God that you've opened your eyes to the truth, as is taught in Matthew 13, 16. That you've heard the word of God, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you put your faith in that, and you were baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. You've opened your heart to his word, as we read in Romans 6 and verse 17. You've obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart, and thus you are a child of God. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's good to know such people as you. For this means that some of you have had to make great sacrifices to become children of God. Some of you, it meant that you broke family ties. For others, you had to give up ungodly living and friends turned on you. For they didn't do the same. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4? He said that people are going to think it's strange that you change your ways. In 1 Peter chapter 4, when Peter is writing, notice what he says in verse 4. He says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. That means you've changed to the point that they no longer understand, why aren't you living the way you used to live? But notice Paul said, or Peter said, the flood of dissipation, that means wastefulness. You're no longer wasting your life, but now your life has purpose. You're a child of God, and now as a child of God, you have learned to love God and put Him first. Some have had to leave man's church in order to be a member of the Lord's church. And I thank God for each of you that have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may I say, this includes the young. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul, you remember Solomon said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I'm thankful for our young men and young ladies that show faith in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for our young men and young ladies who invite their friends. I'm thankful for our young men and young ladies that have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But secondly, I'm thankful that many of you have made spiritual progress. I've seen many of you grow spiritually. And as God's children, we're commanded to grow. We're first babes in Christ when we obey. In John 3, verses 3 and 5, remember Jesus said we must be born again? And so when you're born, what are you? You're a babe. But you need to grow. You need to grow in the faith and the knowledge of our Lord. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. And when you come to 2 Peter chapter 1, notice, if you will, what Peter had to say about growth. He begins in verse 5. And notice, he said, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." You know, I've seen many of you grow in those areas. And I've hoped that I've grown in those areas. And I've been here almost 4 years now. And in the 4 years we've been together, I've seen many of you grow in your love for God. Many of you have grown in your knowledge of the Lord. Many of you have spent hours in your own personal study. You've attended the services. And you've come together to edify and encourage one another. And can I say, I thank you for that. I'm thankful for people who love the Lord. I'm thankful for people who maybe don't feel well, but they still come to services. I'm thankful for people who make a sacrifice to come, even if it means that they have to ask somebody for a ride. They're still here. And I'll tell you, my friend, it means a lot to me to see individuals who maybe are older in years still putting their faith in God. It means a lot to me to see younger people growing in knowledge and in a faith in God. And they continue to fight the good fight of faith, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7. Can I say I'm thankful for you for fighting the fight of faith? But I want to say something else. I'm thankful for people who encourage one another. I'm thankful for people who, when they see someone who's downhearted, they go and they put their arm around them and they say, "I love you. I appreciate you." Now, I realize not everybody does that. I realize not everybody's an encourager. But I'll tell you something. I'm thankful for people who do. I'm thankful for people that try to make sure that everybody is doing the best they can and they are overseeing the work. I'm thankful for our elders. I thank God for the elders of this local church. They have the responsibility of overseeing the flock of God. You remember Paul said in Acts 20:28 that you're to oversee the flock? In 1 Peter 5:2, Peter talked about their watching out. And I want us to understand, we have men that have spent many hours, many sleepless nights, watching over the flock, caring for your soul. I appreciate men who take on the role of an elder, trying to decide what is best for the cause of our Lord. Men who are not ashamed to let the gospel go forth. Sometimes we are critical of the elders, and I'll tell you something, my friend, we need to be thankful for overseers. I've preached in congregations with elders and without elders, and I'll tell you, it's a big difference when you have men overseeing the flock of God. You see the wisdom of God's plan. But I'll tell you nothing else. I'm thankful for every member collective. I thank God for this church. Every member of the Lord's body. Here is a church that has not bowed down to the pressure of men of our day. They've remained loyal to the Word of God. I'm thankful that people want God's Word preached. They want authority from God. They want to make sure that God's will is being determined and that we're following God's will and following God's way. That doesn't mean we agree on everything, but I'll tell you what it does mean. We take God's word and we put our finger on a passage and say, "This is why we do what we do. This is why we believe what we believe." And we can say, "This is God's word." And I'm thankful that there are people that love the truth of God. And I thank God for many reasons. I thank God that at this church, glory is brought to it. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter in the 3rd chapter, and you'll find where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And notice that Paul's not ashamed to tell them his gratitude for them, because he says in verse 21, "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Look, the glory is in the body. To Him be the glory. This church has glorified God in many ways by the preaching of His Word, by sending it to others, by supporting men in other countries that the gospel can be proclaimed. Then I think about the good to mankind. I thank God because of the good You've done for the people in this area. I thank God when an individual just takes money out of their pocket and goes down and buys somebody food who needs it. I'm thankful for tender hearts that look around and see people and they're willing to help people in need. Maybe help a mother and father that's struggling. And I've seen much good done from people of this congregation. And I'll tell you, I'm thankful for that. Sometimes I've not been thankful as I should be. But when I think of the generosity of the people of Eastside, I thank my God for it. But then I want you to think of something else I'm thankful for. I'm thankful because of the blessings that await you. Not here, but on the other side. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. And when you come to 1 John chapter 2, you'll find where John is writing, and John says in verse 25, and this is the promise that He's promised us, eternal life. If we keep walking in the light, if we keep our faith in God, we keep going as we ought, we have the hope of eternal life. We have purpose here. We're serving God. We have each other to lean on when life is difficult. We have others who care about us. We have a spiritual family here. Brothers and sisters that are concerned not about just our physical well-being, but more importantly, our spiritual well-being. And I'm thankful that there are people who are striving for that crown of life that's been laid up, as Paul talked about in 2 Timothy 4:8. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you thankful for each other? When was the last time you thanked God for your brethren? I didn't ask you when was the last time you criticized them. I asked you when was the last time you thanked God for them. I think if there's going to be a revival in our day, it's going to start with you and I being thankful for each other and loving each other and caring for each other and letting people see that at Eastside, we are a family that truly loves one another. And we need to be individuals that serve the Lord and not grow weary in well-doing, as Paul says in Galatians 6:7. And as the collective group, we need to remain faithful so God will be pleased. Through the years, I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for local congregations I've been a part of. Family. I remember when my mother died. Who was there? I remember when we've had sickness in the family. I remember people who were there. I remember people who sent checks and wouldn't even sign it, or sent a money order so we wouldn't know who it came from because they knew that our water had been turned off when we were having difficulty when Sam was in the hospital years ago. You don't forget family. And may I say, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you've never been baptized into Christ, you're missing out on being a part of a spiritual family. Sure, like a physical family, we fuss and argue at times. Sure, like a physical family, we disagree on things. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is help one another get to heaven. We're trying to help one another face the trials of life and the troubles of life and help one another keep their faith in God. Even when it seems like all is lost, we have somebody there like Moses who had Aaron and Hur lifting up his hands when the battle seemed over. What I need at times is somebody to put their arm around me and say, I appreciate you, and I need to be someone who does that for you. And what we need to do is be thankful for one another. Paul said, I thank my God for y'all. I guess that's the southern way. He might have said you all, but we say y'all. And I'm thankful for y'all. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, I beg that you would obey God and become a member. And you know what we would do? We'd wrap our arms around you and we'd help you in any way we can get from this life to the next to get to heaven. We'd do whatever we can to help you navigate through this world as we help each other to make it to the other side. If you're here and you